All right, let's do this. Let's do the NFL whip around. We do it each and every Monday. It's brought to you by Blue Chew, bluechew.com, promo code 610, first shipment free. Just pay the $5 shipping. And away we go, and we started off right over there at NRG Stadium where the Colts got things started early against the Houston Texans.
Watson awaits the shotgun snap. Here comes the blitz. Watson's got the snap. He's firing in the middle. It's incomplete. It's not to anyone wearing a blue jersey. Watson was hit as he threw, but it was only Darius Leonard of the Colts in the area to catch it, and it's turned over on downs, Indianapolis.
That's my bad. I thought I put the Eric Ebron touchdown in there. I didn't have the rundown open. That was the fourth down stop late in the game. My bad. I set that up. I'm 0-for-1 so far in 2019 setting up the whip around. Yeah.
But if you want to talk about the early going in that game, I'm certainly willing to do so because I expressed to you earlier my opinion, and that is that, look, yeah, the Colts walked down the field on the first possession. T.Y. Hilton had 63 yards receiving on that first possession, and they go up 7-0. If you're Bill O'Brien, though, you can't throw the football on every down after that, which he almost literally did. They went 3-and-out on their first possession off 3 pass attempts. And then the Colts go down the field and go up 14-0. It's still the first quarter. Yet, as Bill O'Brien acknowledged after the game, admittedly said that, look, when you're down 14-0, it's going to change your whole game plan. It's like a 2-minute mode. It's hurry. No, it's the first freaking quarter. Keep running the football. Stick to what you thought you might be able to do successfully against this team. I thought there was a level of panic in the coaching decision and the play calling at that point in the game. The second possession, they had 9 plays. 7 of them were passes.
Yeah, I was a little surprised and disappointed we didn't see more of the kind of the game plan we saw last week. Just more Deshaun ran the ball plenty. He was their leading rusher again, but it was a lot like...
But not by design.
No. It was, as I was going to say, it was a lot like the games pre-Jacksonville, week 17, where he was the leading rusher because the offensive line couldn't protect him, so he had to scramble and go get first downs. I didn't have a big problem with the first series. I know they went 3-and-out. I had a problem with them going 3-and-out. But they clearly wanted to take a deep shot on the first play.
Deep shot on the first play of the second series, too.
Okay, yeah. Look, let's not act like this was a team that was running the football for 200 yards a game. Like, when we sit here and go, you got to run the football, they stunk at running the football for the last month of the season.
They did, but they were markedly better at it when they designed runs for Deshaun Watson. And look, I'm the one who's always been beating that drum about the risk you put him at when you do that. But this is win or go home. This was a situation where you had to do anything it took to move the football on the ground, and they clearly showed themselves to be a team over the last month or so that what it takes right now for this team to run the football successfully is designed runs for Deshaun Watson.
To me, the bigger issue, that's interesting because you hate Deshaun Watson taking hits.
I do, and you know where I'm at on this. It's because it's a win or go home situation.
Real quick before we move on to the next game, to me, this game was lost early on because the defense couldn't get off the field on third down. Whether it was they couldn't make a play or they were turning third and long into third and short because of offsides penalties, they got 3rd and 12 on the first series of downs of the game, and they get a first down to T.Y. Hilton. Stuff like that is just stuff that's infuriating. And in rewatching the game, I didn't get to hear the play-by-play up in the press box, but in rewatching it, They set a stat in that first series of downs, Rich, that I didn't realize this. The Texans were the worst team in the league this year on third and long, on third and double digits. They were the worst defense in the league at getting off the field on third and double digits, 3rd and 10 or longer. The Colts were the best in the league at extending drives on 3rd and 10 or longer.
Yeah,
the Colts were 7 of 7 on third down in the first half of that game and early into the second, third quarter.
Mismatch.
Yeah, in that sense, certainly for sure.
Too many numbers like that I keep hearing about the Texans. Deshaun Watson was sacked more in the red zone than any NFL quarterback has been in 30 years.
Yeah.
Worst red zone offense in the NFL. Close to worst red zone defense in the NFL. Too many worsts or close to worst in the NFL.
A reminder, we will take your phone calls on the Texans during the balance of the 4 o'clock hour, 713-572-4610. So be ready for that. We go to the Saturday night game, the other Texas team in action at home up at Jerry's World. And Dak Prescott, who was 0-1 in the postseason coming into this game, got a little bit of redemption.
Shotgun snap comes to Prescott. Prescott takes the snap and going to run up the middle to the 15. Prescott inside the 10, breaks a tackle at the 5, and goes head over heels to the 1. He tried to cartwheel into the end zone and was down inside the 1-yard line. Tedrick Thompson with the tackle that saved the touchdown, but Dak Prescott providing the spark up the middle.
We talk about Deshaun Watson scrambling. That was 3rd and 14 at the Seattle 7. The Cowboys nursing a 3-point lead at that point. So 3rd and 14, the probability there is they're going to kick a field goal, go up by 6, and then put the ball back in the hands of Russell Wilson with 2 minutes to go, needing a touchdown. The Texans know how that feels. Russell Wilson, maybe the best quarterback late in the fourth quarter at coming back in games in the NFL. Instead, that sets up a short Cowboys touchdown to go up 24-14. The Seahawks do go down and get a touchdown and a 2-point conversion to cover the spread for a lot of you Seahawks bettors.
But
the Cowboys win. Big win for Dak Prescott and Jason Garrett.
No doubt about it. My only comment on this game is, yes, Dak was really good and saved his best for when they needed it down the stretch. But that Dallas defense and shutting down the Seattle ground attack was a huge factor in the outcome of that game. Seattle's best in the NFL this season at running the football, and they kept Carson in check. They kept that ground game in check. That's why they won that football game.
I may regret saying this, but, man, I think the Cowboys got more than a puncher's chance of going out to L.A. and beating the Rams this week.
They're dangerous. They're definitely dangerous.
I mean, they're catching 7 points. If that thing just pokes its head up to 7.5, and I know I'm going to regret this. I know I'm going to say this, and the Rams are going to beat them 30-10.
I don't think
because
so.
Because I'm saying it. My picks have been terrible lately.
I don't necessarily agree with that. Look, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, and Dak Prescott, that's a modern-day triplet.
It's a good triplet, for sure. And the Rams, I know they're 13-3. I know they're the 2 seed. But they have not been as impressive as they were the first month of the season, when a lot of times narratives get set in the first month of the season. They've won a bunch of games. They have not been a juggernaut type of wins,
and
though.
I think the Cowboys' offense, their offensive line in particular, can succeed at keeping the Rams off of Dak Prescott.
Rams
have been a little bit of a disappointment rushing quarterback.
They have. They're a lot of sizzle and not a lot of steak. A lot of big names on that defense, but they have not produced this year the way you'd expect them to. That said, they're 13-3. They're a really good team. We'll see how healthy Todd Gurley is. That's a team that could use the bye week, and they got the bye week. The Rams, for those of you who are into this, 4-8-1 against the spread since starting out 3-0 straight up against the spread to start the season. So it's a team that's won games but has not exceeded expectations in those games. So I like the Cowboys to go out and give them everything they can handle in that game. We move on to Sunday, and the Baltimore Ravens hosting the Los Angeles Chargers in a road game for a team that's basically played road games all season long in that soccer stadium that they play in with the Chargers. The Chargers go out to Baltimore, and they get it done.
Jackson steps up. Jackson loses the ball. Ball is free. And Nwosu runs towards it. Could not scoop it initially. And now the Chargers have it. Ingram, the second man through, and it's over. Los Angeles slams the door shut in Baltimore.
Melvin Ingram was amazing in that game. Couple of sacks. He was all over the place. Lamar Jackson, a little bit of magic in him. He brought that back. They were down 23-3. He got it to 23-17. They got the ball back with a little under a minute to go. But ball security was a big issue for Lamar Jackson yesterday.
The ultimate play of that game that decided the outcome that we just heard Ian Eagle describe is pretty much about as shocking as one of those, oh my gosh, moments, just like the next game we'll get to between the Eagles and Bears. That end of that game was like, wait a minute. Although he began the game in similar fashion. I mean, the Ravens lost the football 3 times on their first 8 snaps of that game. And they only lost the football once. They fumbled the football 3 times. Their first few possessions in that game, punt, fumble, punt, punt, pick.
One of the things I'm really anxious to watch in the 2019 season, Rich, and the Texans will be playing the Ravens next year, as they were both division champs this year. So we'll get to see Lamar Jackson. How much of what Lamar Jackson did the last half of this season and yesterday is sustainable for a full season? The way they used him, how sustainable is that? I'll be real interested to see, because it will be his show next year. Joe Flacco's not going to be on that team next year.
It was amazing to see Flacco put his helmet on and look as if he was about to be summoned into the ball game. If John Harbaugh had made the switch at the end of the third quarter, I would have had no problem with it whatsoever.
I wouldn't have either, and I'm not a Flacco guy.
Yeah, and I'm not killing him for doing it, but at the end of the third quarter, Lamar Jackson was starting to really look like a rookie.
He was. He brought him back, though.
He did better
than Flacco probably would have done, but I'm with you. If that decision had been made in that moment, you could completely understand it. They were doing nothing offensively up to that point. Final game of the set, the Bears and the Eagles in Chicago. We played Kevin Harlan's call of it a little bit earlier. Cody Parkey lining up for the game-winning field goal. Here's how it went.
They're Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló.
Oh.
No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. Los Eagles se van con la victoria. ¡Ay, papá! No, señor. No, señor. Chicago, Chicago. Nos vamos para New Orleans. Philadelphia gana el partido. Le dio el poste.
Okay, that was the greatest call in the history of the whip around.
Can we get that guy on the show? I don't care if he speaks Spanish the entire interview.
Yeah, he can do Spanish the whole time.
Oh, my gosh.
The best part of that, Rich, I mean, I think you probably know him mixing in, like changing voice inflection and accent in the middle and going, Chicago, Chicago, was the greatest en Espanol call in the history of the game.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
Yep.
Bears defense shutting down the Eagles' ground game the whole game, keeping that thing close. And Trubisky, this will not get talked about, but he didn't have a great game, but he
made
came
some plays.
Up big late to he get did. Them in position. That was an unbelievable throw to set up the field goal attempt.
Chicago, Chicago.
No, senor. No, senor. No, senor.
That is your Monday whip around brought to you by Blue Chew, and that. Your West Point drive of the week comes from that Eagles and Bears game.
No, senor!
It's actually not the drive for a missed touchdown. Field goal. It was the touchdown drive for the Eagles to put them ahead 16-15. 12 plays, 60 yards, 3 minutes, 52 seconds. Nick Foles just getting it done again. And that is your West Point drive of the week. The West Point drive of the week this week comes from West Point Buick GMC. I am in the Buick Regal this week. If you want to go check out all of the Buick and GMC vehicles, go see my guy Randy Bowman at West Point Buick GMC. That is Katy Freeway, exit Barker Cypress, or 610auto.com.